You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I'm your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me again today, the man, the myth, the legend, the Christian to my edge, Mr. Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, bro?
Well, I guess you don't need me no more, huh? Out here doing single shows and stuff. What's up, man?
How awkward did it hear? Did it sound just me talking to myself? No echo, no Ray going back. Did you hear me say that? I was like, dude, I need Ray. Get well soon. You need to come back, man.
I did. I appreciated it. It didn't sound bad. You know, it's doing solo shows is difficult because you don't have that person to bounce ideas back off of. So you just kind of got to have a set plan and stick to it and answer your own questions. I think you did okay. Basically, it was your first time ever. Well, no, wasn't your first time doing that, but you know, you've gotten comfortable with the co-host,
right?
So you know, it's kind of hard to fall back into that. But you did fine, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. You forget. I'm not saying you personally, like you know, people that are on sure. A two-man show, especially a two-man show that is every single day, 5 days a week, like you and I. You forget. Like, just how much stuff is decided just in, like, your casual conversation with your boy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, me and you, you know, today was a little bit different. We talked about it all this morning. But, you know, normally it'll be, you know, what, 6 o'clock in the evening or 10 o'clock in the morning. Or, well, sometimes we're still recording at 10 o'clock. But, you know, at noon or something, we'll be messaging back and forth and, like, you know, I want to talk about this. We'll talk about that. And like, oh, yeah, totally, we should. And then we kind of piece it together, like, just in casual conversation. So when that didn't happen, you know, the other day, and, like, I'm, like, thinking, oh, crap, what am I going to talk about? I can't really just go down the rabbit hole if it's just me, because there's just one person bringing up topics, you know what I mean? So it was a little weird not having you here. So I'm glad you're back. Glad you're feeling better. Man, we just had some interesting news come out this morning in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Yeah,
I call it inevitable.
Inevitable.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah. And that is Dave Meltzer rated the Okada versus Omega match 7 stars. That's crazy. 7 stars on a 5-star rating scale system.
Well, it's not 5-star rating scale no more, apparently. He blew up the scale. The scale has officially been destroyed.
Yeah. Is it? Has he said anything officially about it being a 10-star scale system now?
No, I think, like you said, I think the plan was still for it to be 5.
And these two guys are just going to... We're going to go back down to 5 stars for everyone else?
Well... I think his idea is it's the scale's always to be 5, but when something is... The reason he gave the 7, apparently, is because he says that not only is this the greatest professional wrestling match he's ever seen, he doesn't think that he could ever see a match better than that one. So why not give it 7?
See, that makes it a little rough if in 5 years, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura and Johnny Gargano put on, you know, a match that's, you know, just as good. Because then where do you go? You know what I mean?
Well, there's a generation of kids who are 6, 8, and 12 who are going to be pro wrestlers in 20 years or 10 years who haven't wrestled yet, who are going to redefine the sport just like these guys did.
Right.
So, this is my thing. and I don't want to sound like a hater, which I'm going to be called. I subscribe to New Japan World. I watched Dominion. Hell, you watched Dominion on my account.
Right.
So
thank you for that.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. You know we share everything.
Yeah, for sure.
But I say that to say this. Before people want to come at me saying that I'm being a hater or I don't watch or don't support, I actually subscribe to the network. So chill with that noise. I actually watched it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
so
you chill did. With that noise. You did.
This is my issue. Kenny Okada versus Kazuchika Okada was probably one of the best matches I've ever seen. I need to watch it again. But it was probably one of the best matches I've ever seen. I'm still impartial to Michael's angle, but I'm going to give that another watch. But the issue becomes when you set a scale and you break the scale, you then disrespect everything that you put to that old scale. Because you cannot tell me, that these matches, and I'm not even going to use this one. I'm not going to use 7-star. Let's use the first Okada-Kenny match, right?
Yeah, it's been Wrestle Kingdom 11. They got 11. 6 stars, right?
6 stars. You tell me, and the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match 25 was 4 3/4. You're telling me that the Kenny versus Okada match, the first one at 6 stars, is a full star and a quarter better than that?
Yeah, that was that 25?
25.
Man, that was such a good match. That's storytelling.
You tell me. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just kind of agreeing with you on that one. Because the storytelling of that match is, I mean, it's second to none, I would imagine, as far as, you know, telling a story. Man, just great. When I think about it, when I think back to it, I still just think about the story that was told, you know, in that 28 minutes or however long the match is, you know?
Just tremendous. I'll give you one better. You're telling me that Okada-Kenny match was a full star better than Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank?
Yeah, that's rough, too. 2011.
So that's the only problem. You know what? You can convince me, anybody can, that, you know what, the scale was wrong in the first place. We need to move it to 10. I can accept that argument. I don't like it, but I can accept that. But then you need to go back and re-rate the other matches. He said he's not going to re-rate the other matches because you have to watch them and you have to rate them in real time. Well, then you just disrespected all these people's work then. Because in 10 years, we're going to have a litany of 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, maybe 10-star matches, and then all these old matches are going to be looked at like they were nothing. When in fact, these old matches make you feel just as much as these other do, if not more. And was just as well worked as these other matches, if not more better worked. No diss to anybody who is strictly a New Japan fan and thinks that that's the best wrestling in the world, because you know what? Probably right. But that doesn't give anybody any right to disrespect all this other stuff that was just as great. You're telling me that that match is that much better? You're telling me that the 7-star match is 2 stars better than Hart versus Austin?
Yeah, 2 stars? That's another good story right there. I think that here lately, especially, and I think I mentioned this in an article that I wrote for Social Suplex a while back on being a new Japan fan, a new Japanese wrestling fan in general. I have found myself trying to separate the Japanese style of wrestling and the WWE style of wrestling in my head, not because I dislike one or the other, or like one more, I guess you would say, but because I have seen, physically, this is a better way to say it. So physically, when it comes to individual performances, I think what we watched at Dominion was probably the greatest thing I ever seen. But
I can agree with that.
Yeah, but story-wise, like telling a story in a match, they told a phenomenal story in that 7-star match. And I think, like I said, I think it was physically one of the two greatest individual performances I've ever seen. But and they told a great story. But I truly think that solely telling a story from beginning to end within a match with build up prior to the match, I think I've seen probably four matches that were better. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And so that leads me to the next thing. If you don't like New Japan, or you're not as impressed with New Japan as the rest of the world seems to be, it does not mean you're a bad fan. It does not mean you're stupid. It does not mean you're a WWE shill. We have the ability to like what we all want to like, and it's unfair for people to attack others who don't like it. It's not fair. It's not fair. And that bothers me, because everybody and their mama wants to criticize everything WWE is doing. That's fine. That's fine. They have their moments. That's cool. But you, the second you criticize what everybody likes in the moment, everybody, it's a problem. You know, that Kenny versus... Let's step away from that match for a second.
Okay.
Let's step away from the Naito match versus Chris Jericho was essentially a 27-minute squash. Essentially.
Right.
I don't know what the star rating for that match was. I don't know. But Kyle and I went through this whatever day it was. The last when we were on, I don't remember. It must have been Monday or whatever it was. Jericho beat him up outside of the ring for the first 10 minutes before the bell rang. And then it was 17 minutes in the ring. Naito may have had 3 minutes of offering Naito, but that was essentially, bro, a 27-minute squash, right?
Right.
So, glorified squash. Let me not say squash in the terms of what we think. Glorified squash.
I see what
you're saying. John Cena, Brock Lesnar type squash, right?
Right.
So. I have a right to say that I didn't like that. I have a right to say that. But there's going to be people out there that's going to say, no, man, that match was classy. What's wrong with you? That's not fair. You know, it's a much bigger conversation than just star ratings. And we're probably going to keep it to just star ratings today. But, you know, man, like, everybody don't have to like whatever you like, right? Everybody doesn't have to.
I dig it. I think it was a little bit more than a glorified. Why can't I say that word? Glorious. I think it was a little bit more than that, but it wasn't much more. it was entertaining. It was very entertaining. Oh, yeah. Meltzer gave it 4 stars. I don't know if I agree with 4 stars on that, but it was entertaining. I think his match with Omega was far superior.
It was a different style of match. It was
It was a competitive. It was basically 50-50.
Before the match started, he jumped him from behind. He powerbombed him through a table. He threw him over the rails and then through a rail. He hit him with the bell, and then he DDT'd him. On one of the other announce tables. This is before the dude hadn't even taken off his prom suit yet.
Right.
So come on, man. Like it's a way different match than the Kenny match. And hey, Jericho is amazing and everything he's doing. Yes, but you know, I just that wasn't. It was interesting, but it wasn't fun.
Do you think it was put like that, or it was the match was built like that because they knew what they were going to be doing in the main event, so they wanted to do something a little bit different. So they go for the heat, get the attack. They go for the attack and get the heat, and do like a stomp session.
Some diversity on the card, yeah.
Yeah, since they don't. Well, I don't want to say, because that's more of like how they were booking, you know, 8 years ago, WWE. But if you remember when WWE would have 2 big matches like that and we were still in the Divas era, we would put a 90-second you know, Divas match in there to break up the two matches. But one, New Japan doesn't have female wrestlers, and two, female wrestlers are treated with a lot more respect than what they used to, you know.
Absolutely.
So there's really, apart from some backstage shenanigans or, you know, videos or anything like that, and that's, you know, a very basic split in between those. There's not really a whole bunch you can do. And you don't want, I mean, I would imagine that you don't want 2 hours of, you know, the same type of match going 50-50 and then again 50-50. And, cause to top Jericho and Naito, if they're kicking out of each other's finishers, I mean, by the time you get to Omega and Okada at the end of their 69-minute match, to get the crowd to pop, you're going to have to, you know, kick out of two gunshots. You know what I mean? Like,
you're right. But that, so while you were talking, I was thinking, and you're absolutely right, but that's what WWE would do. But New Japan has shown they don't really care. New Japan has shown that they're going to just, if somebody goes out there and hits a home run, then the next person better hit a grand slam. They just don't care.
Good point.
Right. That's what they've shown. But I will say this. The Dominion show was a show that was that was about growth, right?
Right.
The show started with the brand new Dutch-American new president talking about westward expansion. Right, giving all the respect in the world to the former president of New Japan, but saying he let it as far as it could have gone domestically. Now it's time for somebody else to take the helms and make it international. Right?
He even did a little jog and slid into the ring too. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, he's around all these superior athletes. He better show he can do something.
I know, right?
You know, Vince will get in the ring and take a chair shot. He better run to the ring or something.
Nobody told him white man can't jump. You know what I'm saying? Because he was sliding in there.
I think Will Ospreay and Neville have shown us that that's not true.
That is, yeah. They make Woody Harrelson look like a bitch.
Pretty much. And Woody Harrelson's the man.
I love Woody Harrelson, dude. That was a great movie too, man. White man can't jump. I thought it was really is a you know real good. Was that made in the '80s or nineties?
That was in the '80s, dog. That was like late '80s.
Sweet. Sorry to interrupt you. For some reason that popped in my head.
You can always interrupt me with the white man can't jump joke. But this is the thing I don't know if a lot of people really paid attention to. You realize that outside of the junior champs, like the junior tag and the junior heavyweight, all the champions are white.
Oh, wait. Really? So
Kenny Omega is IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Jericho is IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Jay White is IWGP United States Champion. Young Bucks are IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Michael Elgin is the Never Openweight Champion. And the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll are the Never Openweight Six-Man Champions.
That's crazy, man. I did not... I'm kind of ashamed that I did not realize that.
Yeah. It's westward expansion. So maybe your point is valid. Maybe they did say, and I think the reason the Naito match was like that was, number one, to continue to make Jericho look like an absolute menace in the beat. Jericho's out there looking like Godzilla in a Godzilla movie.
Right. Just destroying everything.
Just destroying everything. But also I think they wanted to build sympathy for Naito because they know they don't know what to do with Naito, but they know he's a star. So very clearly, you keep beating him, you keep making him lose at the biggest moments of his career. At least this time, make it look like he never had a chance. You know, because maybe then he could come back and get his heat back or have the excuse or whatever it is, you know, but something. Because if Naito would have lost in a 20-minute competitive match to Jericho, it would have made him look worse, I think.
Yeah, I think if you didn't have the sneak attack, I think that really kind of dampens what you're trying to do with Naito. Because, you know, we're not very far removed from him losing clean in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 12 as well.
Boy, let me tell you something. There's a few things in my life as a sports and wrestling fan that hurt me. I'll never forget where I was when Billy Cundiff missed the kick. to send the Ravens to the Super Bowl. I'll never forget where I was when Steve Nash got hip checked into the railing by Robert Horry. I'll never forget where I was when Luis Gonzalez hit the bloop single to send us to win the World Series. And I'll never forget where I was when Naito lost to Okada. Because, boy, let me tell you, the pain in my life and the anger I had, I almost flew to Tokyo, and me and Okada almost had words. Like, I didn't win that series, but, like, bro, I'm telling you, man, like, that's one of those wrestling moments that I'll never forget where I was, because I was so upset. I was so upset, dog. I was Seth Rollins hitting Roman Reigns in the back with a chair upset.
Really?
I was Tommaso Ciampa turning on Johnny Gargano upset.
Wow.
Like that, because if I watch New Japan consistently, like all their shows, Naito would be my favorite wrestler in the world. Like, that's how much I love that guy. I just don't watch enough to say that.
Right. So, how do I word this? Are you happy with how he put over Chris Jericho? And the reason I'm asking that is because it wasn't a 50-50 match, right? They kept Naito looking strong for the most part because he took an ass beating, but he took it from behind because Jericho didn't have the balls to go one-on-one with him. So
27 minutes of that kind of beating, and he lasted that long. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, are you more content with that than if they would have went head to head and they have Naito drop the title to Jericho that way?
Oh, absolutely. Because you know me, I'm a story guy. Like, that's the one thing that's probably why I'll never be a full time New Japan fan, because they have tremendous wrestling, but they don't have stories. They have stories, but they don't have stories the way I want them. Their stories are told through their matches. So this is one of the few times that the match breeds a new story. So this match breeds, now that Jericho is the champion, is the IC champion, which is the title that he's perfected in America. He completely beats down one of the best New Japan has to offer, takes the belt, says he might never defend it again. You know, you don't know if he's going to be back, when he's going to come back. And then after the match, his second in command, Evil, comes out to save him, which means, well, is Evil gonna take the next title match against Jericho? Is he gonna overstep Naito? What's Naito gonna do? What's gonna happen? We have real questions now. Afterwards, there's no questions after the Kenny and Okada match. Kenny won, great, cool. What's next?
Right.
This match, we have a million questions of. You know, oh man, well. Is Jericho gonna wrestle full time there? Can Jericho really keep up and be a full time champion? What's going on with Naito? Are they deep pushing Naito? Is Evil gonna take over LIJ? Are they gonna have an internal struggle because Naito keeps losing? You know, it's like, there's so many stories that's coming out of that one match because of the way they did it. So yes, you're absolutely right. I would have preferred Naito to keep the championship, but if you're going to do it, this was the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, and I was hoping that you would say that, because I think we disagree on plenty of stuff in wrestling, but I think on stuff like that, I think we have the same viewpoint on how that actually, in a lot of ways, that does not make Naito look any weaker, you know, because it's a sneak attack. You know, that's why it's booked like that, you know. I have another question for you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, at some point, they have to give Naito a win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't mean a win, like, in terms of winning a match. He wins plenty of matches. What I mean is, on the biggest stage, they got to say, we got you. He lost to AJ Styles. No, he beat AJ Styles. I looked it up. I don't remember who won that match at that Wrestle Kingdom. But, you know, he got rebuilt up after 4 years and finally got back, won the G1 and got back to the championship level. And then he lost to Okada. And now the whole thing with Jericho, like, give my man a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. So we talked about Michael Elgin winning the never open weight championship in New Japan at Dominion. Did you find that a little weird that they put a title on a guy just recently removed from everything that just happened with him?
Well, New Japan has clearly shown they don't really care much, because they've been booking him the entire time as he was going through it, right after it happened, and even since then. There was a big break he took. I don't know if it was he was hurt or everything for him. But, yeah, they've shown that they're good with it, you know.
Well, I was just going to say, I guess I probably should have explained it when we first started talking about it. I'm sure most people know by now, but what happened was for starters, he was in... Do you remember what the tag team tournament is called over there? Was it the...
The World Tag League.
The World Tag League.
Yeah.
Elgin, Big Mike, was teamed up with Jeff Cobb, who I actually am... I'm friends with Jeff Cobb's... girlfriend, Desi Dorada. She's a member of the Arrow Club. Phenomenal worker. Anyway, Jeff Cobb also wrestles in Lucha Underground. Anyway.
Baton de Cueto.
Yeah. And Big Mike was sending messages to someone, kind of talking shit about Jeff Cobb behind his back. I guess they had some personal differences. And, Big Mike got caught handling the situation improperly, instead of going to Jeff and being like, hey bro, we need to talk. He totally, mishandled the situation. But it only got worse from there, because later we find out that a former female student of Elgin's, of Big Mike's, hit him up saying that a current male student of his / employee of his at his Glory Pro Wrestling, which is an indie promotion he owned, sexually assaulted her. She told him in March of last year, and then he did not take action until November of last year, and then gave her this whole spiel about, I was making sure that everything was right. I was making sure that you were telling the truth and stuff like that. Then there's messages that she released where he was like, look, just leave me alone, girl. Either put my dick in your mouth or leave me alone is pretty much what is pretty almost word for word what he said,
Yep.
And just rough, man. And she, released all these messages, and he lost a lot of bookings because of it. I actually seen a video where he showed up to wrestle Naito in like this small indie show in Ohio, I think, that looked like it sat probably 300 people. And dude, imagine this. You're from some small town in Ohio. I know the feeling, except I'm just from Oklahoma instead. But, you're in this 300, 200 seat venue. If that could be 120 seat venue for all I know. It could have just been three sides filled up, and the hard camera side could have had nobody in it. I don't know. But you're going there to see Naito wrestle, and then they bring out his opponent is Big Mike. And after all this stuff turned out, well, some people, actually like turned their back during the match. Was like, fuck this. I'm not watching this shit. No, not with him. You know what I mean? And that's some people's, morals and convictions. I'm not going to, I'm not going to say that I might not do the same thing, or Ray might not do the same thing. If we're in that situation, that's kind of a personal choice. But, I think that all of that stuff combined has made him lose a lot of indie bookings. But like you said, he hasn't slowed down a bit in New Japan. Probably actually work in New Japan more than what he was, just for the simple fact that... he's not taking, he doesn't have as many indie bookings as he did,
Right.
So, but you weren't, I guess that makes sense that, New Japan had already showed that they don't really give a shit if, what he does, and they put the title on him. But do you think here's another question for you. Do you think that he will be anything more in New Japan but that mid-card, you know, big muscly guy? Do you ever think, can you ever imagine him being in the Intercontinental / Heavyweight Championship title run? Can you ever see him having one of those title runs?
Well, heavyweight title run, no, because that's one of the most prestigious classes in the world.
Yeah.
Because New Japan truly believes that, you know this idea that only certain people can be pushed in WWE to the title. Like,
right.
I have to believe that only a couple people. Nah, that's New Japan. Like, they got their core four, and that's the only people they consider to hold that belt.
Whew.
That's it, right? And that, yeah, so other people will step up. Like, Sonata stepped up and had a championship match with Okada, and Zack Sabre Jr. won whatever the Super J Cup, I think it was, and had a match with them, and, you know, stuff like that. Sure. Baluk Fale, I think, had a match with him in the beginning of his reign. But when it comes down to it, you know that really only the top of the top, Tanahashi, Naito, or Omega, those are the only guys that were going to win the title from Okada.
Yeah,
You know. So Big Mike may very well down the line get a title shot. He ain't going to win the title. Now, in that U.S. championship reign, maybe the Intercontinental championship reign, he could get there. Because if it's one thing Japan loves, it's a Hoss Gaijin. They love them.
Right.
They love the big Hoss Gaijins. The bigger you are, the more athletic you are, the better.
I dig
it. You toss people around. They love that. Like that match that he had with Tai Chi and Goto, he was tossing boys around, and they were just having themselves a day. They were just enjoying the hell out of it.
I dig it. What did you think about the Young Bucks winning the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles?
I expected that because the Young Bucks have far and away been one of, I don't call the Young Bucks definitively the best tag team in the world because I think the Usos are, but it's clearly 1A and 1B. You know, it's like flip a coin on any day.
Do you think that would be a phenomenal match?
I think that'd be the best tag match we've ever seen in our lives.
Oh, yes, it would. I totally agree. It really would. Like, oh.
Everything you loved about the Golden Lovers versus the Bucks is what Usos Bucks would be. The only difference is that you'd have to give them a story, you know. But yeah, in terms of just in-ring stuff, it'd be tremendous, tremendous. But and Evil Sonata, even Evil and Sonata are really good. Sonata's much better than Evil is, but they've become a really good tag team. So I wasn't surprised. And this was the Bucks' first legitimate jump into the heavyweight tag division. But the Bucks just seem to win titles at big matches and at big pay-per-views. You know what I mean? They're like,
yeah,
they're very
absolutely.
Clutch like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised.
You weren't surprised a bit? I was, yeah, to be honest, I really wasn't surprised either. It was kind of telegraphed, but that doesn't make it any less special, you know?
No, not at all.
You know, I know there is a lot of wrestlers and people that think, like Vince Russo, that a title belt is just a prop. And I know a lot of wrestlers think that way. But I know there's plenty of wrestlers out there that think of that as an accomplishment, because it is. You know, when you're given the tag team titles, when you're given the mid-card title or the heavyweight title, that is your promotion, you know, you know, in some ways, that is the promotion saying either thank you or, you know, showing right. That they have faith in you, because you don't want a wrestler that is spotty when it comes to having great matches or having shitty matches holding your promotion's title. Because if Ray Cash has a promotion and I'm the heavyweight champion, but I'm having shitty every second and third match is a shitty match, and then I'll have, you know, a decent 3-star match, and then a 1-star match, and a 3-star match. Like, hell, you're not going to want me as the heavyweight champion, because that makes us all look like shit, because I'm supposed to be the best one here. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, titles. I'm sorry.
I was just finishing up. I was just going to say that, you know, I do understand.
Yeah.
I do understand that, you know, they're awarded to you and they aren't much more than a prop, but at the same time, like in a lot of situations, and this being one of those times, I look at it as kind of an accomplishment, you know, because it kind of shows that the Bucks have graduated to that next level, and that they can kind of, just because they're, you know, 6 foot or 5'11", you know, they can still get in there and wrestle a 6'7" Lance Hoyt. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that's really cool, you know.
Well, it can be both. Titles are absolutely props. They absolutely mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. But they represent something.
Yeah.
And you said it pretty perfectly. They represent a company trusting somebody.
Yeah.
So titles normally represent one of three things. And it used to be one of two until Vince decided to be Vince and add into the third reason.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
But titles either mean that you're the guy they expect to draw. They either mean that there's a story they want to tell, which revolves around a championship, because there's been plenty of guys that have won championships just for the purposes of a story. And then Vince has created the third situation, which is, I'm gonna give people thank you rings for being loyal and staying with me.
Yeah,
the only three people win championships.
Right, and I understand that. You know what I mean? But I really liked seeing the Young Bucks win these. You know what I mean? If for nothing else, do what?
I know. I say all the time that there's nothing you can earn in wrestling but a spot on the card. But man, the Bucks work hard, and the promotion they do, BTE is being the elite TV show, is truly the one of the only things that lets casual fans care about New Japan.
Yeah, isn't there like 100,000 people that watch it every week?
Probably more than that. Yeah, it's probably more than that.
Yeah,
probably more. It's
ridiculous, man.
But I say that because, like I said, if you're from America, every company you've ever watched, WCW, WWE, TNA, ECW, Ring of all of them, have episodic storytelling. There are segments, and there's a show every week, if not every week, every other week, or something where you can follow, right? And it's not just matches. There are segments and, you know, there are people giving you reasons why they have problems.
Right.
But Japan doesn't do that. You wrestle matches in the ring. Sure, they'll do like six-man tags where you can tell that guys are going to wrestle in it to make a story, or they have a press conference, but they really don't have anything episodic or anything storytelling from a segment perspective, right?
Yeah.
This is just the case. They don't do that. America, you're used to it. So being the elite is truly the one thing that is carrying storylines out. You know, like the whole reason, Kenny and Cody, if you didn't watch Being the Elite, when Cody turned on Kenny at whatever show that was, when Kenny lost the U.S. title,
yeah,
nobody would have known why he was doing that. They didn't have any friction on television.
That's a good point.
That was all Being the Elite.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I never thought about that.
But yeah, go back and look. They had never had friction on TV, on New Japan TV. Kenny Omega doesn't wrestle Ring of Honor unless it's a special show. That had any friction. That had been built up on Being the Elite for months.
Yeah, I totally see that. It's really bringing more eyes, wouldn't you say?
That
it's bringing a lot more eyes onto the New Japan product, whether it be people watching because of the Young Bucks or not knowing what New Japan was and finding... But, you know, not knowing what New Japan was, but knowing who the Young Bucks are, so watching their show, which turns them into watching New Japan, or, you know, just about any type of person, you know what I mean? Because that Being the Elite, dude, that shit is funny. And it's cool how they progress the storylines for multiple different places in there, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's like their own, well, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, they're doing the same thing that the NWO did, you know, on a far bigger scale, but they're a entity within an entity, you know?
Yeah, sure. Well, that was the plan of the Bullet Club.
Right.
So, yeah, and they're just taking it and running with it. But it's the show is half documentary and half sitcom, almost.
Right.
You know, so, like, it furthers the story so much. And then the best thing it's ever done is, and this is the one thing I think the Bucks, in particular, since this is effectively their show, this is the one thing that when it's over, they can hang their hat on. That show creates stars.
Yep.
Because Marty Scurll and Adam Page were always good wrestlers, but they became stars when they got to be in the Elite. Adam Page got a marquee United States Heavyweight Championship match because he's a part of being the Elite. Like, and Hangman Page is a really good wrestler, but he was just a guy. He was one of the guys in the Bullet Club. He was never any, like, a major part until being the Elite. And now he's a star. Marty Scurll is a star. Flip Gordon is a star because he has idiosyncrasies that they see on being the Elite.
Right. I love it.
You know what I'm saying? It's yeah, bro, I'm telling you, like, they make stars. A whole new world is now about to see Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Daniels, or Jay Lethal, because they're on the show now. A whole new group of fans.
That's so cool, man. And whether people love, you know, the Young Bucks or hate the Young Bucks, those guys have made a career, and they didn't have to go to the WWE to do it. You know what I mean? And there's nothing against going to the WWE. There's absolutely, right. You know, Cody is a name known all throughout wrestling because he was in the WWE. Now what he's done since he left, he's been out 2 years now. Now what he has really built his name even bigger than what it was. But he started out 2 years ago. He started out with the right foot forward because he had spent, you know, 8 years or whatever in the WWE, you know, and he had that platform and he built off of that platform.
And his gimmick on the indies is essentially, I'm better than you because I was in WWE.
Yes, exactly.
So, but, yeah, absolutely.
But for these guys to be making the money that they're making and doing what they're doing and making a difference without being in the WWE, it actually benefits not only the WWE, but it also benefits all of us WWE fans and indie wrestling fans. Because, the things that they're doing is just making wrestling better. That brings WWE's eyes onto more indie wrestlers, which could mean better, or not better, but in some cases better, but more and more talented wrestlers go to WWE. That leaves, you know, it's also more and more indie promotions are popping up because of how popular indie wrestling has got because of Cody and the Young Bucks. More money's being made.
More money, more revenue streams.
More revenue streams.
People never, ever really thought that you can make six figures off of merch and you didn't work for WWE.
Right.
It's possible now.
Yeah, pro wrestling tees is off the chart. I think Cody said that they had, I was watching this 10 pounds of gold that NWA has got, and, you know, the NWA YouTube show, 10 pounds of gold. I was watching the latest one, and he was talking about having shirts that were literally on back order on pro wrestling tees, and having shirts that were, when they came out, they were within a day. They were gone, and the number one selling shirt on all of pro wrestling tees. He's got, I think the Young Bucks have got shirts that were, or I think the Young Bucks shirts are like the best-selling pro wrestling T-shirts of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but you're just talking pro wrestling tees. That's a pro wrestling company.
Yeah.
Hot Topic.
Yeah, Hot Topic. A mainstream store. A mainstream store is selling indie wrestling T-shirts.
It's their biggest sellers.
Yeah. That's where I got mine. That's where I got one of my Young Bucks shirts. I got another one from someone that I tried to get a sponsor from, but I got, you know, I bought a Young Bucks shirt from Hot Topic a while back. You know what I mean? Just to say that I did it. You know what I mean? Because I bought a wrestling t-shirt, an active wrestler, not like a Macho Man shirt, which, you know, there's nothing against Macho Man, nothing against Macho Man's shirt, but, you know, not a former world champion from WWE, like a set of brothers that have, you know, work on the indie scene. I bought one of their shirts in a mainstream store. Like, how cool is that? And it's just, cool, yeah, it's just, it's phenomenal, and it's good for all of wrestling. It's good for all of us fans. Dude, it's just absolutely awesome. Finally, before we go today, dude, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you were the first person, well, I called my wife first, but after my wife, I messaged you when I was on my way home, but I went with my boy, Prince Mahali, and I took my first, started working on the basics of pro wrestling yesterday, and basically, I went and bumped, learned how to bump for the next 2 or 3 hours, some tie-ups and stuff. And my God, if my neck could kill me, it would kill me, bro, because my neck is hurting today. I read on, or not read online, I had a couple of guys that you and I work with at the chair shot that would tell me, and I think you told me this as well, like, hey, make sure you strengthen your neck up. That'll, you know, when you learn how to do bumps, it'll do it because you're going to be tucking in, you'll grow that muscle memory, but you always want to have a strong neck, and boy, were y'all right. Man, dude, that first time I took that bump, a full bump, because I started out by laying on the ground or sitting up on my ass, and then you would go back, slap your arms, and learn the motion and learn about timing your back hitting and your hands hitting at the same time. And then I went off of Mahali's back where he was on all fours, and I sat down on his back and just fell back like a trust fall. And then I built up to taking an actual first bump. And I remember the first time, you know, of course, we're in front of, you know, there's like six of us in this beginner's class that I'm taking before the academy. And, okay. Or excuse me, there was 4 and 2 trainers, so 6 altogether were there. And I fall back and I take my first official bump. And first off, I take more of an ass bump, a little bit of a tailbone bump than anything, because I didn't fully commit because I got scared. But that first time that I just fucking threw those legs out and just my shoulder blades hit solid. Yep. Oh my God. First off, I forgot to breathe out, so all that air in my lungs just rattled. And then it's just like, you know, I took my neck, but I didn't fully tuck my neck, just because my neck's not completely strong enough to be bumping for 3 hours yet. And just the pain of my first actual bump, and I was just like, oh my God, I thought this shit was fake, bro. Like, and that was that fake part was just a joke. Y'all know that anyone that listens to the show, y'all know that I always say that F word. I don't say the F word. I was just making a joke about that. But yeah, dude, it was I expected it, but man, it was just like, it was crazy. You know what I mean? To know that, like, you know, take Ric Flair, for instance. Dude, he was taking those bumps for, like, 40 years.
Still taking them in some places. You know, he has moments where he'll take a bump. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely... Well, see, and like I told you, the hardest day is over. The hardest day is the first. Because a tremendous amount of people don't make it past the first day. And here you are. Your first day... It was painful. It was rough, but you can't wait to go back.
Absolutely.
It's already done. So, I told you day damn one, right?
Right.
I don't know if you know where that comes from.
Uh-uh.
That's the episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Will went to school for the first time. After he moved down there.
Right.
And you know, you got this super hood. Urban black dude in this family of pretentious, very rich and prim and proper black people, and here he is going to this uber white prep school, and Phil was like, day damn one, Vivian, day damn one. And so, like, that first day, bro, that first day, you get through it, and it's just downhill from there.
Heck yeah, dude.
You can handle it one day, you can handle it a second, you can handle it a third, you can handle it a fourth, so on and so forth.
Heck yeah, man. I'm so excited, dude. Man, I just I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm just so happy to be able to chase this dream. You know what I mean? It's just so freaking phenomenal. I told my wife this morning, and then I told you whenever I called you. But right before I took that first bump off of Mahali's back, where, you know, you fall a couple of feet and take that first, like, initial hit. Right before that, I had butterflies in my stomach. And the last time that I had that much butterflies in my stomach was when I proposed to my wife in Chicago.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man, I'm just such a happy moment, you know what I mean? And it was just cool. I've lost my breath because I was, you know, we were talking so much last night out there. We're outside this ring that we're doing this weekly beginners class to get everyone ready for the academy. Is outside, so I guess that probably has something to do with me losing my voice too, because we were talking a lot and stuff and yelling and stuff. So, but man, it was a lot of fun. We've had multiple people write in and tell me good luck, and I just want to say I appreciate that. If you're listening, guys, I sure appreciate that. And Ray, I appreciate you, dude, for always having my back and telling me that I can chase this dream. It's freaking awesome, dude. Absolutely awesome. So I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, man. I look at me as the old guy in Rocky. You're a bum, Rocky. You're a bum. That's me. Scream at you.
Mick.
Trying. No, man. I'm talking to a future world champion, hopefully.
Oh, man. I appreciate that very much, man. That hits me in the feels, man. I sure appreciate that. Well, dude, if you got nothing else, we will take off for the day. We'll make sure hit that 11:30 time slot we got at the Chair Shot Radio Network, and we will call it a day. I know you got some birthday stuff to do with the little one, so.
Today is my baby girl's birthday, 7 years old, and I feel old as hell. But yeah, I'm excited, man. It's an exciting day, so yeah.
Well, good for you. Be sure to tell her I said happy birthday. Everyone out there listening, don't forget, you can follow Ray. You can send him a happy birthday tweet for his little one. It's at It's Ray Cash. You can follow the show at World Class Daily. That's World Class, DAILY. You can follow myself at Fox the Podcaster. And we're also on Facebook at World Class Radio. For Ray and myself, we will be back tomorrow. So everyone stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?